Here we are, snowing. It's March 29th.
Yep.
Global warming, fake.
Yeah, fake news.
Yeah.
Is this a cold open?
Literally speaking, cold open. If we open the windows, it'll be a cold open.
It would be a cold open, because it opens the windows. Welcome back to Small Brains, Big Picks. We are, how do you like that cold open, Evan?
Felt really natural.
It didn't feel forced at all.
No, just casual banter between two brothers.
Yep. It's like when Cain and Abel had their podcast, they too struggled with the cold open.
Yeah.
So what's new in your life, Evan?
Spring break. So I'm here in Fort Lauderdale on the beach right now. No, I'm not. Here in cold, snowy Michigan for spring break this year. Not going anywhere, but working on a whole bunch of little personal endeavors and professional things.
Is that a euphemism?
It is a euphemism for I've started a porn career. Yes.
Yeah. There's no sound effect that I could possibly do to help you out there.
Nope, we go all natural, no sound effects.
Yeah. Just like your side projects.
Yes, of course.
So, burgeoning porn career.
Yeah.
Is that what you're...
Other than that, I mean, just grinding, moving.
Also in your porn career.
Also related to the porn career, it's all double entendres here.
No matter what you say.
Yeah, working on... purchasing a home, that's not a double entendre. Trying to move towards home ownership, knock on wood.
He said on the acrylic table, yes.
Yes, I knocked the legs too.
Okay, that's good.
Knocking legs, there's another one.
Yeah, there you go. That's content you don't get anywhere else.
Yep.
That's a nice banter.
How you been? What you been up to?
I'm good. I've been traveling a lot.
And now you're back.
3 consecutive weeks at home. That's crazy.
What are you going to do with yourself?
I don't know. I made a list of things like as if I had 3 years off. So,
all right. So naturally, you'll get to the first two.
Right. I'll get to the first two and then feel bad about myself and then go back to work. And then I can't focus on how many things I didn't get done. So,
yeah. That's how that goes.
You know, it's like, check the gutters for leaves. You know, maybe do a little painting, write the Great American Novel. You know, the classic kind of stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So today we're going to do a little something different because we realized that we are 30 episodes into this?
More than that, no. I think we're over the 50 mark.
We're over 50 on the other podcast, which is...
Famous Last Words.
But I think looking on our ace producer, Teresa Alden, does a good job of... We are on 31.
31. Okay, I would have thought more.
Maybe some didn't get online. Maybe there's a couple of ones that just died.
Sure.
On the vine. Yeah.
But pushing up there. More importantly, 6 years of inconsistent execution.
Right. If you're still with us. Yeah. Thanks, Dad. We are... Well, what were we talking about there?
We're going to today just... Because it's, 30 episodes too late. But today, as we're missing our fantastic producer, Teresa.
Yep.
And... just feeling like kind of a step back. We're going to do this list of questions that Andrew just told me about.
Yep. Marcel Proust's questionnaire for French fun in the 18th century. So here we go.
Nice.
See, what's Teresa's not here. It's just nonstop.
Yeah. If you had had time to upload some new sound effects, we would have really been in trouble.
It would have been bad. Anyway... So, question one.
We're diving right into it.
Yeah.
Okay, Marcel.
Yeah.
This is probably how he did it, too. He didn't small talk first. Just dove into question one. All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Question one. What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Perfect happiness. I think that's... almost a trick question and kind of a in a way, because I think a big part of that perfect happiness for me involves like striving towards something and like goal orientation. Because I just think I could have millions of dollars and a really happy family and a big home and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm like, feel like I'm set and I've just got all my boxes checked and I'm not building towards anything, I think I would really struggle with purpose. So for me, perfect happiness has to do with stability and like love in your life from a lot of different areas, but also like really being purpose driven and feeling like you're actualizing your full potential in terms of purpose and execution.
Wow. I accept that answer. I can at any time not accept answers, just so you know. Okay. Evan Sawyer, what is your greatest fear?
Greatest fear. My greatest fear probably losing my wallet. Or just
so you've experienced that a lot.
Yeah. Or just losing things in general. Because I get so anxious when I think that I've misplaced something, or not even misplaced things only, but like made a little dumb mistake about something.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like at a time in my life, maybe late teens, early 20s, I often felt like I was frequently doing little dumb stuff, like losing a wallet or whatever the case may be. And so now I'm like hypersensitive to that. And so I can actually, obviously to an extent, this is my greatest fear. Like part of this is me bending the question, but like I deal in high pressure situations pretty well. Like if there were a fire in my classroom, again, knocking legs,
right.
If there were a fire in my classroom, like I feel like I'm very good at like maintaining calm, being the calm in the room, dealing with things, focusing on like what needs to happen next. But little shit, like to making a wrong turn when I'm already 10 minutes late to a party and my girlfriend's going to be mad because I made a wrong turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of thing that causes me high levels of anxiety, is like
right.
losing control of things that I should be in control of, essentially. Mm.
I will say that you are a world-class wallet loser.
I have been known to. I haven't lost a wallet in quite some time, but I have done it many times. Quite, yeah,
knock on legs.
Yeah, right. I do. I have a new wallet. Have you seen my new wallet?
No.
This isn't good for podcast, but I'll show it to you really quick. I've got one of those wallets where
you
press the little button and it fits five cards.
It checks your cards right
out.
Money
clips on either side. I've got my little tracker in here. I've got my school key card and just credit card, ID,
it's violent. Card. It's very violent. Who made this item?
It was a gift.
Who gave you this gift?
Annie.
Annie's a good gift giver.
She is.
She's a world-class gift giver.
Code 118.
So if you want to also, does it have a bottle opener?
Did not come with it. Gift that I have.
Okay, that's
but
weird.
I do slide the bottle opener in there, so I've got a bottle opener, my tracker thing, wallet tracker, it's called?
Tile.
My classroom key card and debit cards, insurance card, ID. Always
perfect.
On me in this little tiny clip. And if I got cash, I just put it in the money clip.
Right. And then you have this little satchel too. Well,
yes. Yeah. I've become a big purse man. Like I've always got a fanny pack on me.
What's in the purse?
Oh, it's a little overstuffed right now. I've got a
Home Depot receipt. A letter.
A thank you card from a wedding I attended a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Shout out Zach and Marissa.
And your passport.
My passport. I was doing some ID stuff.
Some Trident gum. For all you play at home, this is part of the Proust questionnaire. A whistle?
A whistle.
Here. Give us a little
tap tap on the whistle.
Whistle.
That was fun. Sorry for everyone actually listening to this.
Wallet.
Okay, this keeps going.
Keys. AirPods, but I lost one.
You lost both of them.
Thought I lost one. I think there should be one in here. Oh, man, did I lose both? Backup AirPods, though. I did not lose either.
Well, since when do you have AirPods?
I've had AirPods. I've gone through multiple iterations of AirPods and a few pens.
See, I'm afraid I would be like you. I'd just lose the AirPods almost immediately.
Yeah, so I bought AirPods, lost them immediately. Was like, wow, this is terrible.
Did it fall out of your ear, or do you lose the whole...
What hasn't really happened to me is it falling out of my ear. It's like, if you don't put them back in the case every single time, if I ever get caught, oh, what was that? Oh, let me put them in my pocket, and the case is over here, that they get lost.
What's the over-under on lost single AirPods in the world?
I mean, if there's a million AirPods, there's got to be 750,000 lost
singles. Singles, yeah.
But yeah, so I bought this first set of AirPods, lost them completely, bought another set, got my name engraved on the case.
Nice.
I said, this one I'm going to keep. I lost it, bought these new ones, found these ones, lost these ones. So I found the second ones, lost the third ones, found the third ones again, but then lost the headphones for the third ones just recently.
Okay.
It's been quite a ride.
It has, yeah.
At any given moment, I've had 0 to 2 pairs of AirPods in a kind of flow up and down.
So there's a good chance that at least one of the two may reemerge.
Yes, I think one of the two may reemerge. I think another one may have gotten picked up and thrown away by the cleaning staff at my school. Because you can look on the map where they were, and they were in the hallway of my school on a Friday afternoon, and I checked on Monday, and nowhere to be found.
Right, unless one of your students has one of your single, and you got a robust pocket situation going on here.
Yes, I also got this is my. Okay.
Why is that not in the?
Normally, I just had it out. Yeah. Phone.
So phone, little notebook. That's your to-do list.
Yes.
Yeah. And see, this is one thing I can't judge you on, because I often carry around way too many things.
Are you bullet journaling? I'm not bullet journaling for real, but inspired by bullet journaling, one thing I am doing is marking next to every item on my to-do list a category. Is it teaching, housing, is it baseball related, Costa Rica related, national board related? So that's in green. And then the day that I'm going to do it this week is in red.
Wow.
Couple unchecked items on Tuesday as we record here on a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday,
We're trying.
Yeah, yep. Well, someday we can go to What's in Andrew's Sack.
I can't wait to explore your sack.
Yeah, this has been great. Just keep you in mind, there's 20 questions. We're on number 3.
I just got to be home by midnight.
Yep. Yeah. What trait do you most deplore in yourself, Evan Sawyer?
Trait I deplore in myself. I don't think I deplore much in myself. I'm pretty happy. I think that what I talked about with the disorganization and losing control of situations I should be in control of. I'll go with this. Deplore is not the right word, but something that I'm working on letting go of is a constant need for productivity, being able to actually relax. I was dealing with a lot of shoulder pain this morning, and so I was advised by my partner, go take a bath in some Epsom salt. After 11 minutes in the Epsom salt bath, I was like, I should be working right now. I should be doing things. Mind you, I'm on spring break, and 11 minutes into an Epsom salt bath, I removed myself to go be productive. So I'm working on
you're working on it. Okay, well, that was a quick one.
Yep.
What trait, Evan Sawyer?
Yes.
What is the trait you most deplore in others?
I do not appreciate or even deplore, trying to think of a better term, inexpansive, inflexible mindsets, people who are unable to learn new things, appreciate new things, mainly, that's, I think, a lot of the reason for people's ignorance, racism, sexism, any ism, comes from like an inability to have the humility to like step away from your own perspective. Because, mm-hmm. right, tons of people were raised by racist parents, and that will continue to be true until people can be different than their parents. Or tons of people were raised in a chauvinist culture and a chauvinist society. But how can you like reflect upon those ideals that are being put on you by family, community, society, and like understand different ideals and incorporate those? A lot of people have very inflexible mindsets.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't care. Anyway, moving on.
Good.
Yes. You like that?
Yeah.
That's some good banter. Evan Sawyer. This is an easy one. Which living person do you most admire? Come on.
Teresa, our lovely producer.
Yeah. Good answer. What's your actual answer?
Wow. Okay, Teresa. Big shots. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She won't.
She never gets this far. Yeah, she's the producer. She just makes sure that the intro music works.
Right. The intro music happens. It scrubs the end. The outro music happens.
Yeah. Living person I admire most. Man, that is very tough. I'm really bad at like lists of people and such and like top fives. Like I always dread that someday I'll be famous enough that someone will ask me the question like, who are your top five dinner guests dead or alive? And I have no idea.
you want to be like a blind situation.
Right.
You're like, okay, we'll get LeBron James, Hitler, and you know, Madame Curie.
Yeah, just see what happens. Can I pass? I don't know.
Well, stick with Teresa. Teresa's a good answer. That'd
Teresa's
be my answer.
A good answer, yeah.
What, Evan Sawyer?
Yes.
What is your greatest extravagance?
My greatest extravagance? Like things that I like will like...
It's open for interpretation.
Okay, greatest extravagance. I'm generally relatively frugal in things and don't care to be super extravagant.
TikTok.
No, I don't even have a TikTok.
No, I meant like cubic moving.
My greatest extravagance. I need to travel. Like I don't travel. I was gonna say this one initially, but then I backed off. But I will go with it because I don't travel like extravagantly. I'm willing to stay in a shitty motel, especially if I'm traveling by myself, stay in a shitty space and not spend much money. But I do like require seeing new places. I would always try to find a space in the budget for that, even if it needs to be a cheap trip to Cincinnati. Like I will find ways to get out
or
of my
Toledo.
Space. Okay, well then, let's relax.
Okay. I'm gonna do this next one as a what's his name? Never mind. Evan Sawyer.
Okay.
What is your current state of mind?
My current state of mind. Very active, very divided, unfortunately. I want to be present in this moment in the podcast, but just boom, 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 boom. The spring is a lot. I've got all types of things that kind of add themselves onto my plate. Mm-hmm. It's like you ever had like a meal, like maybe a Thanksgiving meal, and you have no space on your plate, and then you look and you see there's like three other dishes you hadn't, like, I didn't even know there was mac and cheese here. Your plate is all totally out of space.
Right.
But then you realize there's mac and cheese and there's, say, sweet potatoes, something or other.
Right.
And you're like, I mean, there's no space on my plate, but just throw it on top. That's right kind of top. The situation
you're,
that I'm in.
You're not, you throw it on top.
Frame. Yeah. My plate was full and now I'm just throwing scoops of all types
sweet
of different stuff
muck.
On top.
Yeah.
So that's my mind state is there. It's sweet potato muck.
Mm-hmm. Evan Sawyer.
Yes.
What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Most overrated virtue.
I completely lied. There's 35 questions.
How many are we going to do? Because we're not doing 35. unless I'm doing going to fall to one word answers. Most overrated virtue. The only thing I can think of when you say that is Evan Budrovich, who I played college baseball with, who would go, you know, you people say like patience is a virtue, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would always go, practice your virtues to hitters when they were up. And it's like a 2-0 count. He'd go, practice your virtues, practice your virtues.
Mm-hmm.
All every time without fail.
So, but
patience is not it.
That's the most overrated virtue?
I think that maybe if it's a virtue, like constant productivity, even though that's, I already said, that is one that I definitely over-lean into, but like this idea of like needing to always be productive rather than just being present.
Mm, that's a good one. Evan Slayer.
That's I. Yes, that's me.
On what occasion do you lie?
On what occasion do I lie? Under the covers, on the bed.
Good answer. Question number 10, Evan Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you most dislike about your appearance?
Mm. Well, you know the name of the, never mind, the podcast. My small brain.
Your small brain. That's what you most, your appearance, you feel like you people are walking around and be like, I can see his brain and it is small. You have the sound of like a marble in a 5-gallon jug when you walk around. That's like a single marble rolling around in that big dome.
Yeah. I spent most of my younger life being very insecure about my crooked teeth.
Mm.
But I don't really care anymore. Because I think it's, things are working out for me well enough. I now hold areas in which I feel that I'm unattractive as mm-hmm. like a badge of honor. Because I'm like, you know, if I'm able to accomplish things or like do certain things, I'm like, yeah. My ugly ass accomplished it. I had to like work.
You had to work
for
something.
You know, some people just so beautiful.
Right,
like beautiful, handsome men just ain't got to work that hard. But
that's true.
I got to work a little extra hard for it.
That's true. And you do like a challenge.
Thank you.
We'll break here at the 11th question.
Okay.
And then you can ask me 11 questions.
Deal.
After we play our
11
game.
11 different ones?
The next 11.
Cool.
Evan Slayer, this is an easy question. Oh, no, maybe it's hard. Which living person do you most despise? I feel like this comes down to basically two people.
I mean, so like, I think of like very well-known people. I think Benjamin Netanyahu's on there. Real notable asshole.
That was one of the two people.
Yeah, Trump, is that one of the people mm-hmm. you're thinking of? See, it's like, I almost despise like the Ron DeSantis's more than Trump, because like, I feel like they just lie about who they are a little bit. Like Trump, obviously Trump lies all the time, but it's like clear, he lies so much that it's like his lies are, you know, no one expects to believe anything.
His lies have lies.
Like, yeah, like Trump is Trump. Like he's beyond, exited being a human. Like he's just like this like fucking cartoon character.
Right.
Whereas Ron DeSantis wears this mask of a normal, logical human, but I just saw like 5 articles this morning of universities that canceled civil rights classes because they violated the Florida law, and high schools that dropped their
critical race theory.
High schools aren't even teaching critical race theory, but high schools that out of this whole drama about critical race theory, like can't read a book. In a third grade class, a kid gets fired for reading a book in a third grade class, or a teacher gets fired for reading a book in a third grade class that like mentions Ruby Bridges of Brown versus Board of Education, mm-hmm. like shit like that, like a principal who got fired for
showing the Statue of David. Do you hear about
for
that?
For showing the Statue of David, like it's that shit that when you actually see the immediate horrible impact of. So it's, I'd say less the like cartoon character evil people, which I would say Netanyahu fits into too. Like he's
a cartoon.
Like cartoon character level evil.
Mm-hmm.
But like the people, well, now he may, I think a lot of people actually think of him as a legitimate person. So like same way Ron DeSantis, like those like, and I only am picking politicians right now. I could also go with like, you know, Aaron Boone, you know?
Or yeah, mine was, the other person was A-Rod.
A-Rod.
But no, I think it's, yeah, it's hard to, it's hard not to despise Ron DeSantis. He might be the winner.
Yeah, he's pretty rough.
Okay, well, that concludes. We know you 1/3. So, thank you, Evan, for...
Oh, you know me 1/3.
I know you 1/3.
Yes, got it. I thought you were saying I 1/3 place, like, between you, me, and Teresa. Like, oh, thanks. I didn't know this was a competition.
You knew yourself 1/3. Moving along to our game. Would you like to introduce our game?
Yes.
Do you remember it?
No. We just talked about this. We are drafting...
What?
Oh, we're drafting reasons to watch American football.
Reasons. And so remind us again, because we are...
And participating.
Allegedly a filmmaking podcast. Or no, sorry. That's our other one.
The other one.
We are allegedly a sports podcast, but we used to ban things. The first thing we banned was...
We should ban things again, by the way. But the first thing we ever banned was the NFL. We said
we can do a ban right now. We can ban Donald Trump. We don't need to say why. We can just, you know.
I think his ban is implied, but that's the now. We'll
ban someone next time.
We'll ban someone next
it's
time.
It's a nice thing to do.
On this. Yeah. I like banning, banning books, banning Donald Trump,
right?
Banning institutions. So previously, though, we banned the NFL. We banned them from all discourse and involvement in our podcast, just because of the idea of like. We are a sports podcast. You may notice a clear, conspicuous absence of the NFL.
Right. Though we're giving it power right now.
We are giving it power right now, but just to bring that back.
But that's because we are drafting reasons for us who hate the NFL to ever watch the NFL, correct?
Yeah. Could be a challenging draft out here.
How many are we going to do?
Let's do four.
Four each?
Let's do four each.
Snake back and forth, like... one, sure. Two, three, one, me two, me three, you four, you five.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I will concede to my left-handed gentleman the first pick.
Reason to be involved in the NFL,
To be involved, okay, well.
As an athlete or a consumer.
Okay. I can live with this.
Interested in a future... Interested in a future sympathy for your CTE related mental illness and physical illness problems. You want that sweet sympathy that you'll get as you're losing your mind.
A mile in somebody else's shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's dark. I think a reason to follow the NFL, because I think we slightly deviated from our response. Our thing is, but anyway, the number two pick in the draft, I will take reason to get into the NFL is we changed the definition of American football to mean soccer.
That would get you into the NFL.
That would get me into watching the NFL.
Got it. Okay.
And the number three pick, because it goes back to me, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the number three pick is it becomes flag football.
Okay. Becomes flag football. I'm going to continue to answer this how I was going to answer it. So
there's no oversight here, much like the NFL.
Yeah. So my second round pick will be because you do not like seeing non-white people in positions of power, privilege, or respect.
Okay.
And so you don't like that, and so you follow the NFL.
Oh, you don't like...
Because you're not interested in that.
It's a double negative here.
Yeah.
Okay, say it again.
So you're like, you strongly feel that you don't like seeing people, non-white people, in positions of power, privilege, or respect, and so you follow the NFL because they check that box for you.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Yep. That, convoluted as it may be, that works.
Third reason... is you want something to say to your brother-in-law once a year at the Super Bowl party because you really struggle to connect with him and your fiance or wife has asked you to please find a better way to connect with him because y'all relationship is suffering and it's been a topic of discussion at the family table. And if you just knew who the backup quarterback was for the Ravens, it would really help grease the wheels.
Do you know who the backup quarterback is for the Ravens?
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's not Lamar Jackson. He's the starting quarterback.
I don't even know who Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice guy. Sounds like a librarian.
Yeah.
Okay, my third pick.
Librarian.
Lamar Jackson. You go see him in nonfiction. He's up by Civil War history.
Yeah.
Right? You see him in the plaid sweater? Yeah, that's him. Okay, so my third round pick of reasons to get into the NFL is you feel... Wow, you took some good ones. Now that I'm thinking about this on a different lens, you took some really good reasons. You like to watch the concert once a year, and you want to understand the game that's played around the concert in February on national television.
Okay.
That's my third reason.
Yes.
Okay, my last reason. This is a tough one.
And while Andrew thinks on his reason, I want to ask all our fans out there to send a message, comment on the podcast, whatever, and let us know who you think won this draft. Or were there any undrafted players that should have been picked up and maybe will be picked up off the waiver wire?
That's the waiver wire, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so for my last pick is a personal one, and that is that reasons to get into the NFL is to understand the unbridled pain that your father-in-law goes through being a Buffalo Bills fan.
that's a personal deep cut.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's Bills fans out there.
Yeah.
They call themselves the Bills Mafia, which I think is like, you know, we're going to take our racist sport and add a little Italian-American slight to really alienate another population of people. But, you know, there it is.
Shout out to the Bills Mafia. RIP to all these tables. The last reason...
These tables?
The tables that the Bills Mafia people jump on.
Oh, okay.
Last reason is... you just got a strongly worded text from your mom that she's worried about your drinking and she is concerned about you. And so you need a good excuse for why you are drinking weekly before 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings that can not be easily disputed.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
You want to eat chips and cheese from a tube.
Yeah. I mean, a good final pick, I think. Like, you know, they really, wouldn't have gone first round, but I think a strong round out to my rotation gives us some versatility.
As always happens with these things, they got more and more convoluted.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were already always convoluted, but, you know, the more you know.
Otherwise known as layered.
deep. Yeah. Multifaceted. Evan, do you want to read us the copy from our sponsor, Morning Drugs?
Oh, thank you so much. I would be glad to. Interested in a soft, scratchy, irritating surface? Feet feeling a little too soft and smooth these days? Ridded your house of bed bugs? Maury's Rugs is waiting on you. Only 12 monthly payments of $19.99. We'll tell you where the decimal is later. And you could have your very own Maury's Rugs. Antibiotics not included.
That was beautiful. He writes such great copy.
Thank you. I did write that ahead of
time. Oh, you wrote that one. Okay. See, I thought Maury wrote them. Oh, the applause is still going.
Guys, sit down.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, our studio audience getting out of hand.
They've been silenced. Like dissenting opinions in American politics, they've been silenced.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you pulled up the questionnaire here?
I did, but it seems to be different. Not the exact same question. Did you go in order?
I went in order, yes.
Okay.
I was using the Vanity Fair website here.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to try not to repeat any. I don't think I will.
Okay.
all right. Number one.
Oh, wait. We need to do the music. We need to do the music so that we know.
Lovely. Andrew Alden.
Evan Sawyer.
Who are your heroes in real life?
Alteresa, obviously, because if you've picked her, I'm beholden to.
Don't overexplain this one.
Man drowns.
Man drowns in explanation.
Okay. Yeah, Teresa.
Okay. Which words or phrases do you most overuse or do you feel are overused? Can answer either or both.
Okay. All right. Words or phrases are overused.
Or that you personally overuse.
I probably overuse LOL. It's my usual de facto, I should just thumbs up this text, but I feel like the thumbs up is a really terrible way to... Mm. They should take reactions this off. Hot take.
I love reactions.
I hate reactions. Okay. So I probably overuse LOL as a means of communication.
Yeah.
Words or phrases that I also would like to see go away is using unnecessary abbreves.
Mm.
Like, oh, we went out and had some chicken. It was delish.
Yeah. I hear that.
Delicious. It's one syllable.
Do you have an issue with the unnecessary abbreves verbally or verbally or in text as well?
Verbally is particularly bad.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the autocomplete function has made us speak more incomplete sentences than we ever did before.
Yeah.
Or incomplete words.
Yep.
Like, when's the last time you got a message that says, are you okay? It's the letter R, the letter U,
the letter K. Yeah, not as much anymore because it does autocomplete. That is very true. Really has cut down on my misunderstandings as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Why does somebody text me ruck? ?
Ruck.
Yeah. So, feel free to text us ruck.
Yeah. And me being a high school teacher, I do periodically get messages with abbreviations that I have to ask about. Like,
you can't just Google search some?
You could, but sometimes I'm just like, I'll just ask.
What was the first one that made you feel old?
Hmm. Oh, I'm going to be struggle off the top. I never used to use NGL. I still don't think I really use it, not going to lie. But I seem to get that one a lot if a student is saying something to me. Like NGL.
I hate IRL.
NGL Sawyer, IDEK.
DFF drill.
What the homework is. Yeah. NGL Sawyer, IDEK, what the HW is. And so like three of those words were actual words.
Right, yeah. Well, you know. That's what I'd type out and just copy and paste into a note so I could use later.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Right.
When and where, Andrew Alden, were you happiest?
I was... That's assuming I'm not happy now. The wording is very specific.
Now could be included in the when and where.
I guess each moment's a passing moment of the present to the past.
Hmm.
I think... I lived a lot of places, as have you. I think the place that I am most happy is here in Detroit. I think I do like going to Boston or New York. I never lived in New York City, but I lived in Boston. I think Detroit, my house here in Detroit, is my happiest place I've ever lived, though I really loved my apartment in Rochester, New York. It was an all-time great one.
Cool apartment.
Also, it was 50 cents a square foot, so.
Yeah. Are you at life happiness maxed out right now, like as far as the... Are we at the high point to this in the first up to now? Are you at a high point
sure.
on life happiness scale?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. That's good to know. Good to know. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
That wasn't a question. That was just a little mental health check-in.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. As Maurice Ruggs always says, that when you start to feel like you're having delusions, open a window and call for mental health professional help because there's a fume those bad boys give off.
What talent would you most like to have?
I would really love to speak French.
Mm.
It's something I could do. I find, as you know, I'm about to throw a hot grenade in the middle of this conversation that's been very pleasant. I find Duolingo to be obnoxious. Wildly. Like,
yeah.
I think that, I know daily habits are a good thing and they grow things, but like... As we know, not going to at anyone, but some people are really slaves to the streak, and I feel like there's got to be better ways out there. As you've told me, it's one part of learning a language.
Yeah, no, I'm agreed. And the tactics they use in gamifying it definitely get casual people who are not necessarily as interested in learning languages to commit to something because it's a really small commitment and it feels like a game. It is not, I would say, by any means the most effective technique for a intrinsically motivated learner. Like if you know in your soul that you want to commit time to it and you don't need the Duolingo dings and bings and games and leaderboards and streak notifications, like to motivate you, it probably isn't the best app.
Yeah.
But for someone who's just like, I don't feel like I have any time, but I would like to occasionally put a couple minutes into learning something.
Right.
It's a good one.
Yeah. But I'd be happy to learn Spanish. I mean, the thing is, I am happy to grip it and rip it within my functionary Spanish and my functionary
French.
You're
pretty functional in both, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm happy to try my best when in those countries and in those places. But, yeah, so Evan's texture is...
All right, well, Andrew Alden.
Evan Sawyer.
What do you consider to be your greatest achievement to this point in your life?
You could say the Emmy nominations are a pretty big achievement. Though...
The Emmy nominations, he said, heavy on the S.
Right, exactly. I'm pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of Dangerous Creation being out in the world. But I do feel like my biggest achievement is no... And I'm about to use some lingo.
STDs.
You ready?
Oh.
You ready? I go out to use some lingo. No cap. no capriciousness. Intended. Which is that means, right?
I don't know, Andrew. I'm not sure. We'll consult Urban Dictionary after this.
Right, yeah. No capriciousness intended.
Yeah.
My marriage. I've been married for 10 years in May, and I feel pretty proud about, you know, just like how great our relationship is. So, yeah. No capriciousness. That's my answer.
Yeah,
no caps.
All right. What's your most treasured possession, Andrew Alden?
Is my dog a possession?
Can be.
Is my wife a possession?
I'd steer clear of that one.
Only according to the law. Let's see. Well, if Ron DeSantis has his way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I would say that my most, like, discounting my dog, because my dog, I think, he's not really, I mean, he's a possession, I guess, in the scope of the law, but I don't really think of him that way. And I think it's, like, not a very juicy, good answer.
Sure.
I would say that in terms of value added to my life, I use my iPad for work. It's like my most important tool right now in my life. I use it every single day. You are using your iPad right now.
I am.
But I really also like my point-and-shoot camera for fun things. So
I figured you were going to pick a camera.
Yeah, so one of those two things are my favorite tools item. I don't really have anything precious.
Which makes sense, because you're a creator. And so like a tool to create would logically make sense as your most prized item.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think that would probably be true for a lot of people, but
sure.
If you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be? What or who would it be? If you were to die and come back as any person or thing, what or who would it be? It's quite a question.
This is
this at parties.
Yeah. This is when people start filing out when this question gets asked. People start filing out. Oh, are we getting phone called?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll call back.
Okay, yeah, just okay.
Multiple different calls.
Okay, yeah, look at all this. I think this is a seems like a butt dial from if I've ever saw one. So if I could come back as anyone or anything, so that's a tough question because there's lots of implications there. If I was to come back as a thing, am I sentient?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can feel people rubbing on your head if you're a camera and
I think it'd be great to come back as a building.
Okay.
Like, you know, like come back as falling water. That'd be kind of interesting.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Or, you know, come back as the Flatiron Building in New York.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. Okay.
Maybe we should. Okay. Should we pick up and bring them into the podcast?
No,
they hung up.
Yeah. maybe we need to, do we need to take a break to receive this phone call?
We may need to take a break.
Because this is, they never call this many times in a row. So, unprecedented thing, we're going to quickly, we'll be right back. So, enjoy this music from Maury's Rugs in-house band, the Rug Muffins.
The Rug Muffins.
That was the Rug Muffins with their hit jam.
Rub one out for me.
Well, yep. If we weren't canceled before, we certainly are now.
Rub the rug.
Yeah. No, we got it. Yeah. This is a great time to mention that all stains in Maury's Rugs are 100% removable
and 100% customized. No two rugs have the same stain.
Right.
Both in substance or shape.
Right. If you get a person that's been cut out, a person-shaped stain that's been cut out of your rug, know that it's probably a one of a kind.
It's most definitely a one of a kind. Right. Yes.
Don't rub your face on it. Maury's Rugs. Okay. So moving on here.
Back to it. We'll go three more here.
Three more. Yeah. No, we had our distractions. That's fair.
Andrew.
Evan.
If finances were not a consideration.
Okay.
Where would you most like to live?
New York City.
New York City. If you could just ball out in New York City, you'd love that. What part?
Or is,
what borough, at least?
Yeah, I mean,
you want to live? I mean, no financial consideration. So you living in Manhattan?
Or? Yeah, I'd live in Manhattan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere near the park, probably.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't even have to be a ball out apartment. It would just have to be a lateral move from what I have now. And I'd be happy, you know, having whatever this house is, four bedrooms, technically.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my answer. What's your answer to that question?
My answer to that question might be either a really beautiful spot in the Bay Area, could be San Francisco or Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to still maintain a space stateside, I think, ultimately. But I would also like a nice home on Copacabana in a penthouse apartment in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, nice one. I guess if I was to choose a foreign country, which I'd be very happy to live in, Paris, of course, or in, I really like Barcelona. I feel like I could get into living in Barcelona.
So I feel the same about Madrid. Madrid, Medellin, and Rio are my three like all-time cities at this point in my life.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, Barcelona or New York, huh? This is kind of an odd question, but it's on his list, so we'll see if you have an answer for it.
Marcel.
I would struggle with this question, but you may be better at this type of thing than me. Which historical figure do you most identify with?
That is a hard question, because they're all kind of bad. Yeah. The more we know people, the worse they get.
Right.
Hmm.
I mean, would it be a director of...
I was thinking about that, but they all are kind of... You know, the problem with the directors of yesteryear are they're all kind of known assholes.
Yeah.
So if you think about John Ford or Stanley Kubrick, they were notable assholes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there are parts of Andy Warhol that I really like. I think that his idea, like, he basically, like, never stopped working, which was, you know, both good and bad, and, like, just someone who helped cultivate a lot of art, probably for his own gratification. But, like, with a I half squinted, probably Andy Warhol will be my answer to that question.
That's a good answer. I half squinted was probably going to have to come regardless. There wasn't going to be a perfect comparison, but I think that's a really good pick. All right.
How about you? You said you can't answer that question.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. Ask me next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Last one.
You're filtering.
I didn't go in an exact order.
Okay.
What is your greatest regret?
Not going to more Red Sox games when I lived across the street.
Yeah. It was nice to be able to hear home runs from your bedroom window, though.
That was nice, yeah.
That was cool.
I'd be watching on, they'd have runners on second and mine is to go straight to a negative place, but they'd have runners on second and third, and you're always just like, oh, maybe they'll get a hit. And then you could hear it when they didn't know it. Or just no sound.
Yeah.
So
and you're knee deep in sweat.
Right, yeah. It was a hot
apartment.
Yeah. That was a good apartment, too, but yes, very hot. I feel known.
Me too. Thanks for seeing me.
Yeah, I feel seen. Is that how that works?
I think so.
No cap, no capriciousness. Okay, so, well, you know, if you like us, you should like us. If you want to subscribe to us, we're open to subscriptions. We still got slots available.
Get them now.
Yeah, get them now while they last, you know? Yeah, if we get up to any number of subscribers, Maury's Rug will write us a slightly bigger check, so.
Yeah, yep. Just slightly bigger.
Just slightly bigger, you know? They'll round up the penny.
Yeah.
Well, that's the wrong outro music, isn't it? Okay, all right, here we go.
Great time as ever to remind us that you do have another podcast.
Yes, famous last words. So, if you like us on Instagram at Obscure Broadcasting Company. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Evan. See you next time.